Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. And it's Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday. What do you think? Nice. And by the way, it's Father's Day weekend, isn't it? Yes. Everyone says yes. Okay, it's Father's Day. A vast studio audience here. It is Father's Day. Silence. Yeah, leave me alone. Solitude, not silence. Solitude. That's just me, though. Me and my dog. Yeah, what do you think out there, folks? Dads, I'm just curious. What do you like to do on Father's Day? Again, me and my dog. You know, on my 45-foot cabin cruiser. No, let's see. That's somebody else's life. I'm just kidding, of course. But seriously, to all the fathers out there, the real dads, happy Father's Day to all of you. And don't forget the moms out there. You know, I really believe, like, if it's your birthday, I think you probably should give a big gift to your mom. And if it's Father's Day, you probably should really thank mom as well. You know, your wife as well, if you're a parent. So that's just my view. Got a great show lined up for you today. A lot of headlines, of course. The usual, correct? By the way, ManCow had sent me a video, and Eric the Tech a video, and we were looking at it and discussing it today. Look, I do have a lot of questions about the, how would we put this, Eric, without sounding too, you know, gonzo? I guess I have some questions. Yeah. I just, you know, look, I've got a lot of problems with the facts as they have been given to us about the shooting of George Floyd, okay? And did I say shooting? Yeah, the tapping out. You know, I just have a lot of questions about that. Just asking questions. I just have a lot of dots that need to be, you know, I mean, really can't ask questions. Right. But I do. And I'm serious about that. I do. I have a lot of concerns about that, especially when your constitutional rights, as well as the Marxist communist agenda is, elevated because of that incident. You know, so it's interesting how something could happen and you can exploit an incident, and then something could be staged and the response could be planned. Two separate things, right? For example, I could walk out and get hit by a car. And that's one example. And the consequence of that could be exploited. However, if that whole situation was staged and the response from that, that would be managed, right? There's a difference there. And I've seen it in my being a career investigator. I've seen the difference. I've seen things happen that were staged, for want of a better term. And I've seen things that happened that were exploited, both situations. So just saying. HagmanStore.com. By the way, Kevin, I've been drinking from this. It's really been, decaf is for wimps. If you can't read this, Kevin, thank you so much. Yeah, I've been meaning to do this, but I've been using this because I like the shape of this. Okay. It holds a lot of liquid and it's got seriously. Thank you, Kevin. Decaf is for wimps, but HagmanStore.com for coffee of all kinds, really three kinds. You've got Detective's Choice, which is really a robust dark blend. I mean, this will get your blood moving. This will get you going. It's hyper-caffeinated. You got it in whole bean. You got it in ground. You got it in K-cups. Let me tell you what, when you open the when you open the bag, oh, the aroma. Oh, the aroma. The aroma of Patriot Blend and Revolution Blend as well. It just takes over your entire living area. And then when you brew it, use a French press. Oh, HagmanStore.com. That's HagmanStore.com. Proceeds go to Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Boots on the ground, saving children, human trafficking, fighting, investigating, and other related issues. And Vets for Child Rescue. Boots on the ground. All right. I want to welcome Dr. Richard Proctor, Bathroom Economics. I've got the book right here. I'm looking at it. That's why I said it. In case you don't know, he's written a lot of books. Saving the Constitution, of course, that's the mainstay. That's what we talk about. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things here momentarily. Before I get to Dr. Proctor, I want to ask you something. You know, this Father's Day coming up, and you know, we go into debt, right? I mean, we all do, not because of Father's Day, but because of, I mean, my goodness, Mother's Day, holidays, birthdays, Christmas. And have you looked in your wallet and have you seen how many credit cards you might have in there? Are you tired of credit card bills with high interest rates? Are you ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? I ask you, are you? Get a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and you could save thousands in interest. Get rate as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. Here's what you need to do. You got to do this, especially if you're saddled with high interest rate credit cards. Here's what you have to do. Apply today to get a special interest rate discount. You can save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I want to spell it out for you, okay? It's LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN, two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. We want to thank them for sticking by us and sponsoring this program. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. How are you, sir? And thanks for being so flexible with your time.
But I'm glad to be here nonetheless.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's get right into things. And yeah, I won't get into it, but thank you. I'm glad you're here now. And folks, by the way, this is going to be rebroadcast during the weekend for on Global Star, so you can tune in there and catch this on YouTube as well. So, Dr. Proctor, what's on your mind? Where do you want to start?
I got stuff on my mind today.
I bet you do.
I got stuff on my mind today.
Talk to me, brother.
By the way, I just want to make a little business announcement.
Okay.
We've changed the website so it's easier to use, so people don't have to do twice. All kinds of things have been adjusted. It's simple now. Simple. Just wanted you to know that. Starting yesterday. Simple. Now, we're going to talk about, I'd like to talk about DACA, D-A-C-A. You know, the dreamers. Those people who are illegals who came and Obama said, well, let's give them an opportunity to stay and be deferred, no deportations and all that kind of stuff. Because Congress at the time wouldn't pass it. So Obama did it with an executive order. Along comes Trump. He says, you know, this is not right. So he rescinds that order. Everybody's mad at him because that's unconstitutional to rescind that order. And they take it to the Supreme Court. You can't rescind that order. And by Jove, the Supreme Court says, you can't rescind that order. Here we have an item that isn't even a law. It's an executive order. And the Supreme Court seems to think it's a law. And so they make a law about it. Oh, I get so irritated about the Supreme Court. This week should be considered a catalyst week for these guys. If they could screw up more, I don't know how. I don't know how they could do it.
Well,
without any authority.
How's it possible?
They override the,
yeah.
What?
How's it possible?
Yeah. Yeah. Without any authority, they override the Congress, they override the president, they override the people, they override everything. We're in charge. We are the nine emperors. They're in black robes. Emperors. And you know, what's really there, what's really important is that the shadow government is in charge. And most people don't even believe there is a shadow government. But there is, folks.
They should know.
Read through my books, my volumes. They talk about the shadow government for 2,000 pages. And in the cases of the Supreme Court, we never protest these things. We just accept them. And a young lady named Kim Davis protested when they threw her in jail because she protested. The person that should have been thrown in jail was the judge who threw her in jail, violating his oath of office. You know, There's a book called Men in Black. It is not about the movie Men in Black. It's about the Supreme Court. If you want to read about the Supreme Court over time, go ahead, do it. It's interesting. And here's an interesting item in the Constitution. Article 3, Section 1 says that, I will read it from my book right here. I'm going to read it for you exactly. It says, judges, both supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior. No terms listed, just during good behavior. Good behavior. During good behavior. You mean to tell me that they stay in office forever as long as they have good behavior? That's not what the Constitution says. There's no term, but it does not give them a life standing. It just says their term shall be during good behavior. That's all it says. But it's been defined as being a life term. There you have it. I don't know. You know, it didn't say there was a term, so perhaps that's constitutional to define it as a life history, a life thing. But it does say during good behavior. And if you read the book Men in Black about these people, there's a whole bunch of them that should not have been left in office because of their lack of good behavior. Now, let me ask you, what does good behavior mean?
Does good behavior mean
following the Constitution? Or does it mean just drink at night and don't carouse? I think it also includes following the Constitution. Did you know that most of the time during the Supreme Court recess, it's about a 3-month time in the summer, most of the time during that recess, these guys go to Europe to learn about how to judge our country? Oh, yes. They go to Europe to learn how to interpret our Constitution. They come back and do it. Oh, take a little history here. If we're going to define good behavior as following the Constitution, we got 7 guys that should be taken out of office after yesterday. 7 guys. Because they made a law out of something that was an executive order and took away the president's privilege to revoke a executive order. Oh, guys, we're in trouble. We are in terrible, terrible trouble. Terrible trouble.
Let me ask this, who defines good behavior? I know you addressed that, but...
It isn't defined.
So I know it's not defined, but who would be responsible for overseeing it, if that makes sense?
Ah, the Congress is responsible for overseeing it. Let me read out of the book again. Where did I put the book? Cotton pick, I lost the book. There it is. Okay, here it is. Let me read another thing. Congress is responsible. Says right here. Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction. Then there's a comma. Both as to law and fact. Then there's a comma. With such exceptions. There's a comma. And under such regulations as the Congress shall make. So it's the Congress that makes these regulations. It's the Congress that tells the Supreme Court what they can do and can't do. It's the Congress that would ask probably the Senate would be sufficient because that's the confirmation, would ask them to leave out of because they have bad behavior. But they don't ever do that. Either of those, none of it. They don't read that last paragraph in Section 2. Section 2, yeah, Section 2, Paragraph 3. No, Paragraph 2. Section 2, Paragraph 2, they don't read the last sentence in that. And, you know, it's there. It's been there ever since 1788.
Interesting.
You know, this brings me to my next thought. Ineptocracy. Have you guys ever heard of the word ineptocracy?
Did you just make that up?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Sounds like it. Ineptocracy. It comes out of the Urban Dictionary, okay? Can't find it in Webster's. This is what ineptocracy means. It's considered a noun. I got to read this slow. It's on volume 2, page 252, if you want to read it. Of my Liberty series, okay? A system of government where the least capable to lead are elected by the least capable of producing, and where the members of society least likely to sustain themselves or succeed are rewarded with goods and services paid for by the confiscated wealth of a diminishing number of producers. That's ineptocracy. Comes from the word inept. Our government is inept because of the voters. The voters are inept. So we're developing an ineptocracy, not a democracy, okay? Not a republic, an ineptocracy, because we have that system of government where the poorest elect the poorest, and then the poorest feed off the trough that the only people that are succeeding put money into. And the Supreme Court's the champion of that, by the way.
Interesting. I'm looking at volume. Now, you said volume two, right?
Volume two, page 252. Volume three. I'm sorry. Wrong book. Volume three, page 252.
I was looking at things in volume two. Volume three is behind me. Last time I reached for something, I knocked everything over. So I'm going to say that. Okay. So, wow. All right.
Volume three, page 252. I wrote two down on my note, but it's really volume three.
Okay. All right.
So, go ahead, ask.
So what are we to make of this? I mean, seriously.
The populace of our country is inept. The voters are inept. Yes, that's what I make of it. The voters of our elected officers are inept. Hillary called them deplorables. But she didn't define, deplorables are bad people. Inept are just ones who don't know and won't want to learn. And we've got an awful lot of those people who don't know and don't want to learn. Ineptocracy.
How do we change that? Can we change it? How do we change it?
How do I say this? We change it by reading. We change it by learning. We change it by paying attention. There was analysis today of the Supreme Court judges. It was written by Michael Schneider on his website, The End of the American Dream. Okay. Right. Anyway, he wrote this today. He says, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in the selection of Supreme Court justices is that the Democrats are very, very careful to ensure that their nominees will follow the liberal aspects that they want done. Okay? Very careful. The Republicans don't. And then he went through examples of the most recent ones that Trump appointed, and their history, and how their history is so ragged and so liberal and so they're just living up to what they are, and the Democrats didn't pay any attention. I mean, the Republicans never bothered to look. We don't bother to vet these people. But that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is that we have come to believe that the Supreme Court should be balanced, liberal and conservative. That's not right. It's the justice system. Isn't that young lady with the balance beam, doesn't she have blinders on? This is not supposed to be a political event. This is not supposed to be a conservative. This is not supposed to be a liberal group of people. This is supposed to be people that know the law. It doesn't make any difference in the law what kind of ideology you've got. The law is the law. They're supposed to follow the law. They're supposed to follow the supreme law of the land. Now, it was in 1803 that John Marshall decided he didn't have enough power, and he wanted to decide what the law was and what the law said and what the Constitution said. And so he said, and I can't quote perfectly, but this is what he said. It's real close. Any law passed that is not constitutional is null and void. That's absolutely correct.
Right.
Then he went on to say, and through judicial review, we, the Supreme Court, we will decide what's constitutional and what's not. Now, Article 3 does not give him the power to do that. Therefore, that circular reasoning, If it's against the Constitution, it's null and void. But I'm going to say something that's against the Constitution and make that law. But it's, since it's a not in the Constitution, it's null and void. So you see, you have a circle there. But nonetheless, nobody circled it around. They didn't connect the dots. So after he said that, 1803, all attorneys learn that, and they learn it. It becomes their Bible. It becomes their thing, Marbury versus Madison. And now it's defined as the Supreme Court makes all the laws. Congress doesn't make law. President doesn't make law. Congress makes all the laws. I mean, the Supreme Court makes all the laws. How? By deciding what is law and what is not, and then by putting laws in that are customs of our country and making them laws. They don't pay any attention. They do what they want to do. They are politically motivated. They're politically paid. We go back to one of the justices of the Supreme Court, Felix Frankfurter. This is in the 1940s. Franklin Delano Roosevelt went to him for counsel on what to do all the time. And who is Felix Frankfurter? He's a member of the elite. He's a member of the shadow government. And so he properly instructed President Roosevelt on what to do in the 30s. Now, you just look at what President Roosevelt did in the 30s, and you will see that he was instructed by the shadow government to do those things, to continue the Depression as long as we could keep it continued. And all you got to do is look at the stuff he did and see it. And now Philip Drew, oh, he's not a real person. He's a guy in a book called Philip Drew Administrator. They decided, who decided? The assistant president to Woodrow Wilson. He decided that since he was the assistant president, he wrote this book, gave it to Wilson, and says, now you read this book. Well, I don't know exactly how that happened, but Wilson read that book, and before the course of his 8 years was over, he started putting things in place. Now, everybody that's in the shadow government reads that book all the time, and we're still putting things in place from that book. Not a long book, but it takes somebody, makes him president, turns him into administrator in charge, or a dictator in charge, and at the very, very, very last thing, because the utopia is achieved, he sails off into the sunset with his wife to go off in the islands of the Pacific and get out of politics. Since when does any dictator sail off into the distance? But that's the image, the utopia that was written in the book Philip Drew Administrator. That's the pattern that's being followed by our government since then, and the Supreme Court is living up to it because they have decided that they're the administrator. These people, whether they know that book or not, they're following it. They're following that. Good book to read. Not expensive, really inexpensive, short. Read it in a few hours.
Yeah, I think it's online. I think you can get the PDF online free. Yeah,
I'm sure you can. Yeah. It's an excellent book. And it all comes back to that's how our government's doing. And we're allowing it. And that's why I say we're inept. Because we do not listen. We do not look at what's going on. We don't see it. Oh, my.
So what do we do? Am I going off on tangent? No, you're not. I mean, this is, if it is, this is the tangent to go. So, I mean, we need to do something. And, you know, look, this country is split. But it was inevitable, and the split didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen with President Trump. It just was, illuminated by President Trump. We got to do something, don't we?
Yes, we really do. And you are doing an excellent job of doing something. You are, Doug Hagman.
Well, thank you.
Excellent job of illuminating.
Well, sitting behind a microphone isn't really doing anything. I mean, I consider doing something by taking a military-style rifle and going out and exercising my rights or protecting the rights of others. I mean, and I'm not trying I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that, you know, we need
– I understand.
I think we got to do something.
Doing, writing books, sitting in front of a microphone, and teaching is doing something.
True.
Or we would define the teachers in school and all these places as doing nothing because all they do is talk. They don't have a microphone, but they just have an audience. All they do is talk. But they're educating. They're doing something. You are doing exactly the same thing. Your audience isn't big enough. So everybody I talk to, I say, listen to your show. Obviously, I say, listen to Wednesday, but I want them to see your show. you are doing a good job. You are doing something.
Well, as important. You are too. And again, folks, you know, people say, well, my goodness, you know, you push books all the time. Well, the knowledge in this book here, Saving the Constitution, folks, it's you need it. You really need to get this book. Now, there are other books, the Liberty series as well, which I was, again, reading again for the second time, but this time, you know, with great, really getting into it. And I was just amazed at some of the information in here about, you know, again, how we got to this point and put the way you connected the dots. I just, in all of the articles that you have cited, and not just cited, but printed in here. The one article in particular, you mentioned the Supreme Court in this volume two. There was an article from World Net Daily about the Supreme Court, which I, let's see, where is it here? I thought it was, anyway, there was an issue about the Supreme Court in here. I can't really find it at the moment, and I won't take your time up. But folks, Liberty Series, please, 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 please get this.
It's the background of everything that I'm talking about and everything that I have done, the background of the Saving the Constitution book. It's the nuts and bolts about what's happening and written as a reference book. You can go to the index of any volume, put in any word that you think is important and you think you read it in that volume, and you can look it up and it'll tell you all the page numbers that word is on. So that gives you the way to find something again without having to reread the book to find it.
And save my bacon a couple of times when I can't read my own writing. I write a note and then I look and I can read page numbers. I can't read sometimes my own cursive writing. And so your index does help, by the way, a lot.
I use it all the time. Yeah. I use it all the time. You want to know where ineptocracy is? Pick up volume three, look in the index. It'll tell you exactly the page.
Yep.
252.
Yep. That's right. And if it's not in volume two, which is not.
It's volume three. I wrote down two. I don't know why. I'm right now doing a new index on volume three. And that's where I found this again. And I thought, this is something important. But I wrote down two rather than three. But it's on page 252 of volume three.
Well, you know, I found, Dr. Proctor, the closer you get to 40 years old, you know, the more you're forgetful you are. Okay. But no, you make some – okay, so – this ineptitude. I see a flashpoint coming here. I don't know what it's going to be. Just real quick, I want to mention this to you. The mayor of Tulsa, I don't know whether you saw this. This happened overnight. The mayor of Tulsa declared a civil emergency around the area of the Donald Trump rally. Okay, so... initially it was, I thought, man, this is just satire, but, Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum declared a civil emergency and signed on an executive order creating an immediate curfew and locking down a 6-block area in and around the center or the venue for the Trump rally in the city. So anyone who is attending the rally who does not immediately vacate the area is subject to arrest. How's that?
Isn't that interesting? That's another way to try to defeat Trump.
Yeah.
There's just every way they can think of. Let's call it a civil emergency around any place he talks so nobody can go there. Really good plan.
Right.
And that shows the ineptitude of the leadership. And it also shows the fact that the people are what do I want to say? They're just agreeing with whatever the government tells them. Oh, then it must be right. We better do it. Oh, it must be right. It must be right. I better wear a mask. I better not go outside. I got to stay 6 feet away. I'm going to have a double yardstick that I'm going to carry with me all the time. I'm going to take 2 yardsticks, wrap tape around them, and hold them out and make sure nobody gets within 6 feet of me. I don't want to violate the law. Oh, the law. And that's color of law. And we need to be challenging it. I've been sending that stuff out, and I still am. Someone brought to my attention something that's important, and I guess I should say this. When you go to federal court, you better make sure the federal lawyer, the federal court judge, is an honest person. Is that said correctly?
You can say that again.
You can take a law that's a published law, Title 18, published in 48, that's 19, not 18, 48, mm-hmm. and take that to the judge, and the judge will say, nah, not important, throw it out.
Boy, let me think where I've heard that before. I you know what, Dr. Proctor, I think I've heard that recently. Let me think where I've heard that. I can't say. Okay.
Honest judges, hard to find. Let's move into a new subject. Is that okay?
Please.
I know we're never going to get enough satisfied.
Let
this move into a new subject. Article 5 of our U.S. Constitution. Oh, what an interesting thing. Now, if you've got your book there, Article, you're saving the Constitution book.
I do.
You can go to Article 5, and you can see some very interesting things in Article 5. And I'm going to read a little bit out of Article 5.
All righty, then.
The Congress, and then it goes la, 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 and talks about two-thirds of both houses and make amendments. Then, by Jove, right after that word Constitution, there's a comma and an or. Well, that means this one or the next one. All right, good. On the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of several states, that's a comma, shall call a convention for the purpose of which shall be in either case, shall be in all tens, blah, blah, blah. Or, I'll be darned, three-fourths of the several states, then it says comma, or, which means another option. So now we have three. By conventions in three-fourths thereof, which means three-fourths of the several states. There it is. There's the sentence, all by itself, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof. So we have one where the Congress is going to do it, and then the legislature with two-thirds of the states can do it.
Uh-huh.
Or the states can do it with three-fourths of the states. Nobody knows the states can do it.
Oh, wait a
second. Even though.
Okay. Wow. How did I miss that in school?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what or means, this or this or that. And that's what happened. Congress by itself can propose, and then it's ratified.
Right.
States can propose, then it goes to a convention of states. Or the states can propose by having three-fourths of them pass the amendment. Did you know that was used once? Three-fourths of the states had to pass the Constitution, therefore it became a Constitution. If three-fourths of the states hadn't passed it, it wouldn't have been.
Right.
It might be two-thirds. Let's look at Article. Might be two-thirds, not three-fourths. But the states can act by themselves. Let's talk about why they can, how they act. How do they do that? It's done like this. The states decide. The governments of the states decide to get together and have a convention in their state. That's how the Congress Constitution was ratified. Congress wrote it down. I'm not sorry. The convention wrote it down, sent it to Congress. And I have all the letters, copies of all the letters of these of the steps. Congress, the convention wrote a constitution, sent it to the states. The states reviewed it. Held conventions in their various states, agreed with it or did not agree with it, and that's where the Bill of Rights comes from. And when if they did not agree with it, they sent back letters to Congress, which then gave them back to the Constitution guys, and it had to be redone again and have the Bill of Rights added because the states decided they wouldn't approve the Constitution unless it was added. And so they added it.
Got it. Okay.
That and a convention of states is held in the states, not in a location decided. So what we have are the people that want to do a CONCON. Now, what's a CONCON? It's a constitutional convention. What's the history of constitutional convention? Well, the colonies way back in the middle 1700s, wanted to put something together so they would be a little bit unified. So they sent representatives with specific instructions to a convention, and those people wrote what we call then the Articles of Confederation. Now, when they banged the gavel, when the gavel went down to start it, they ignored all the instructions they had from their colony and did what they wanted to do. They didn't pay attention to the instructions. The rules of a constitutional convention is that you are the convention. You decide. That's the rules. Well, it didn't work well because it required unanimous of every state to agree to anything. Every state would never agree to everything, so nothing ever happened. In some lights, that's a good thing, but it's really not. So they said, we've got to have another convention. They tried to do it in Annapolis in 1786, but they couldn't get all the states to come. So then they tried again, and this time they got Washington and with his influence, and they were able to get, this is all, a lot of this is outlined in the perfect union, that video, Perfect Union. A lot of this is outlined there. But anyway, so they got Washington, and then they had the states come. And the states did come, so we had a convention in Philadelphia. The very first day of that convention, some rules were drafted. One, we're not going to tell anybody what we're doing. We don't want to haggle about it. We want the news out there. We don't want them to mess us up. We don't want anybody to know, so we won't do it. So they sealed the doors and sealed the windows and sat there during that summer in the heat of Philadelphia with their coats on and their fancy wigs and all that kind of stuff in that heat and did the Constitution. But they did not tell anybody what they were doing. The next thing on the first day, Madison proposed, let's change the Constitution. Let's write a new one. Now, he didn't say it quite that way, but that's what he said. And they said, no. I'm here because I've been given instructions. I'm going to do it. So he changed the idea a little bit to let's amend the Articles of Confederation, because that's what they were supposed to do. Then they got down and wrote a new one. They didn't follow the rules at all that they were given by the states. None of them. The history of constitutional conventions is that the convention starts, ignores the rules, ignores the instructions, and does their own thing. That's happened twice. We've only had two, and that's happened both times. Now, people are trying to have another con. They want to pass something like a balanced budget amendment. But let's not do a balanced budget amendment. Let's do a constitution, and let's it require budget to be balanced. It already is. Just use the one that's here. Well, let's require this, or let's require that. It's already there. Why do we need to change? What we want to get is there. Just follow what's there. It was written and ratified in the 1700s, and it still works. We don't need anything different. But these people who want a constitution of states, they call it now, because that's what it says in the Article 5. But those are held in the states. The or, within the states, within thereof. I'll read that little phrase again. That's a very important phrase. Or,
I see that,
by conventions in three-fourths thereof. Then there's right. Another or right after. No, this time it's a comma and an as. And if the as is talking about all three of these events, as one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress.
Right.
So what we have is three cases and how it's going to be approved, how Congress is going to decide whether it's approved or not. Three different ways. Why did that happen? Well, because we had some people in the convention. We call them later anti-federalists. And what those people in the convention wanted is they wanted power in the states. They didn't want to give up all their power. You see, when the colonies met, they were autonomous territories. They had governments of their own. And this constitution was going to take away their powers. They were going to give powers to the Fed, to a federal government. And they jealously wanted to guard their powers. So when it came time to ratify, they decided one that Congress did and then asked the people. Then they did one that the legislatures of the states could ask Congress to do it and then ask the people. And then they did one that said the states could do it without asking Congress, by themselves. That was to keep power in the states.
Right.
The states didn't give up everything. So they wanted the ability to write an amendment without having to ask Congress. That's very important because that allowed them the opportunity to change the Constitution without the federal government being involved. And the federal government is not supposed to be involved in everything. It's the child, not the parent. We have two parents, people and states, and kids are born. The kid doesn't take over the family and say, this is how it's going to be, and you can only do things I let you do. That's not how it's done. That's how the teenagers think it's done. That's how young children think it's done, but the parents never think it's done that way. Well, today, the parent is being told what to do. Both parents being told what to do. Constantly. They come in and say, we're from the government. We're here to tell you how to do it. Well, our law, nope. Federal law supersedes state law. It does not.
Federal law does not. Okay, just to be clear, because people are going to be asking questions about this. Federal law does not supersede state law. And is that an absolute in every case?
There are, as long as it's in accordance with the Constitution.
Got it.
It is right in every case.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. So state law supersedes federal law as long as it conforms to the tenets of the Constitution.
Yes. Everybody takes an oath to the Constitution. So if the federal isn't doing it, then it's the state's responsibility to nullify those things. And nullify means that they're putting themselves above the federal law. You see?
So, well,
that's
okay.
Where they belong.
Then Professor, let me ask a question. What happens when a state goes rogue? For example, what happens when, this is more of a city, Tulsa, you know, going rogue, really violating.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's the government.
Okay. What happens then? Can the federal government come in? Perfect example, that CHOP or CHAZ, whatever it is up in Seattle, this autonomous zone.
Yes.
I mean, what perfect a bunch example. Of silly right. crap that is. So can the federal government come in and say, okay, we're gonna
nope,
give you what
the federal
for?
Government can't do that. The state government could, but they're not doing it. So here's what you do. We go back to the founding documents. It's amazing how they're all fixed for this kind of thing. We go to the Declaration of Independence. And we read in the, after they talk about the inalienable rights, we read that whenever any form of government, any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, in other words, destructive to their inherent God-given rights, it is the right, and I say responsibility, of the people to alter or to abolish that government. So it isn't the federal government, it's the people. It's their right. That's the Declaration of Independence. Very clear. Very clearly stated how this stuff works. So the state goes rogue. The people say, ha-ha, nope. We're going to alter it or we're going to change it.
So the Hell's Angels can go in there and kick some, you know what, right? The Hell's Angels can go in and be constitutionally correct.
Yes. If the people would do something, that's what these militias are about. Come on, guys, get back to the militia. If the state of Washington had a proper militia, they would go in and quell this thing and get back in charge again. They don't have one, and they won't do one. The people, you see, the militia is the people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The militia is every able-bodied man. That's what the dictionary says in 1828. Every able-bodied man is a part of the militia. Able-bodied, we could call that 16 to 80. Or we could call it whatever we wanted. Able-bodied. That's not defined. It just says able-bodied. So if Grandpa wants to get out with his cane and shoot his AK-47 at the bad guys, he's authorized as long as he's a part of the militia. But if you're not a part of the militia, you're a mob. If you haven't got a posse permission from the sheriff, you're a mob. And I don't care what, you're a mob. And that's why you can be arrested, because you're a mob. But if you're part of the militia, then it's legally right to do it. And Washington could fix their problem if they just would follow the Constitution. Follow the Constitution. It's right. It's all there. I'm carried away again, guys.
You know, when we last spoke about this, I was reading some comments on YouTube saying, well, good luck with the formation of a militia by, you know, the sheriff or whatever department, whatever governmental agency, including but not limited to the sheriff. Good luck with that. But I wonder how many have actually petitioned to do that. I wonder how many.
Well, militias got a bad rap over time because we had some people join militias that were really not the kind of people you want to associate with. They were not a militia. They were a mob calling themselves a militia. Why do I say that? Because the militias got to be formed by the state government, or at least the city government. It can't be formed by its own self. It becomes a mob. The city government's got to do it, or the state's got to do it. And the sheriff could do it because he has a right of posse, and then he could do one. Good luck to do it because people won't insist. Now, let's assume that the state won't do it and it's gone down to the people in the city. They're going to use the Constitution and they're going to use the Declaration of Independence, and they're going to say, we've got to change this because it's not according to the God's laws. Okay? So now, 20, 30, 40 people go down to the city hall and say, Mayor, we're going to do this. And they don't do it, and more show up and more show up. She'll either do it or he'll either do it. I shouldn't say she or he. I should just say it will do it. Because, you know, we got people that are its now doing it. Anyway, so what we have to do is we have to get together and do it. One cannot get the city to move. One cannot get the state to move. A mob, a whole army can't get the federal government to move. But anyway, the people, this is the people, we need to get the states to move. If they won't do it, then we need the city to move. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that's absolutely true, and we will see it if it borne out. We've already shown that governments won't stand up to the Antifa insurrectionists. We've seen it. Do you think they won't do that again now that they've seen it works? Now, I'm going to talk about Walla Walla Podunk place in New North Carolina. I'm not referring to that Walla Walla place in Washington State. Walla Walla is not meaning a place. City Z, I guess. City XYZ.
Okay,
they decided, oh, well, it's all calmed down. We don't need a militia. That's what they decided. But City ABC said, let's do one anyway. We've got a disaster plan in case there's an earthquake. We've got a disaster plan in case there's a hurricane. We've got a disaster plan in case there's a tornado. We've got a disaster plan in case there's a flood. Let's have a disaster plan in case there's some insurrectionists. The cities do these things all the time. So get together and form a militia. It's quiet now. Now's the time to do it. Reminds me of the guy who says, oh, I got a leak in the roof. I better go fix it. It's dripping on my kitchen table, but I can't fix it because it's raining. But when it stops raining, he says, well, I can't go up now. It's not needed. What? That's what the cities are doing today, right now, this minute. That's what the states are doing right now, this minute. They're saying there isn't any reason right now. It's calmed down. Things are okay. Well, they're not really okay, but there's nobody rioting, tearing down cities right now. Will they do it again? You bet they will. Why? On any pretext they can think up. And now they've seen that Seattle will back down. They'll watch and see if Los Angeles will back down, New York, Philadelphia, all the cities, big cities first. After they finish testing those, don't you think they'll go out and test some smaller cities? They already tried to do it in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and it didn't work because a mob. They weren't shit. They weren't militia. They were a mob, but they were a good mob. They were heroes. They did a good job. They stood up, and the guys went away. Oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to come here. We don't mean to. They're cowards. They won't stand up against anything they think is there. Form that militia. Have the people sign a document that says they're a part of it, and when they sign it, that authorizes them to be a part of it. You see, it's a two-way street. The government authorizes them to be a part of it. When they sign it, they will be a part of it. Now, you can take your weapons as a group. Someone will be in charge, The city can decide. Police department can be. Yes, they can. This is an aid to the police department. When the police department needs it, they come. Sometimes we call out the National Guard, don't we? The National Guard. We call out that when the state can't do something. Well, let's have ourselves a real militia in the city that the police force calls out when they need help. And these people don't come quietly, so you know they're going to be there. So when they start to come or when they start to gather, you get your militia together, go to your various routes in the city, and watch. They'll see that and not come any further. But the city that doesn't do it, because you definitely don't need to fix anything when it's not raining, they won't do it. The militias will, the insurrectionists will go there. And they'll lock down their city and take over and destroy property in the middle. There's no freedom here if we don't exercise it. There's no liberty if we don't exercise it. The Constitution outlines what to do. Everybody should swear to uphold the Constitution, whether you're a government official or not. You should. You could stand in front of a mirror and say, I hereby pledge to uphold and support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You can do that, and you should do that. Fight for the Constitution. Make it happen. Don't allow any of these con-cons. All these states are passing con-cons. Oh, we fought here in Utah three years ago and defeated it. We had to fight again. This time we didn't defeat it. So what does that mean? That means, let me just give you an illustration of what happened. One of the representatives in the Utah House of Representatives is from my city. He also happens to be the Speaker of the House. So I got in touch. I called the phone, talked to him. I sent an email to him, talked to him. I got an assistant of his to talk to me. And he and I, we sent emails back and forth. I said, we've got to stop this convention of states idea. It's going to destroy our Constitution and our country. Oh, no, he said, wrote back to me. We're going to have control, so they'll have to do what we tell them to do. I wrote back, but you can't control them. They can do what they want. He wrote back, yes, but we will control them. You can't control them. We will control them. We can't. This is back and forth. So then I wrote on one of the emails he sent to me. I took the phrase, we will control them, put it in caps. Now I'm talking about 18 point, okay? Verdana 18 points, pretty big, in red, underlined. I put that comma that he made, that we will control it, in the reply I sent back, and I put after it, big letters, bigger than that, how? And he never wrote back again, and they passed it.
Now what?
Well, now we have to fight to get it rescinded. But they don't honor recensions.
So the people who believe constitutional convention is the way to go are misguided at best, nefarious at worst.
Absolutely. Right. It's the absolute worst thing we could have ever happen. If we have a constitutional convention today, will those people be of the caliber of the founding fathers or will they be of the caliber of the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
I know which caliber they'll be, even if they say they're Republicans and conservatives. They call them rhinos, Republican name in name only, like watermelon.
Yep. It's a uniparty.
We are going to destroy our country if there is a constitutional convention. We will destroy our country. So they say, well, no, you don't. It can't happen. They've got to be ratified by 3/4 of the states. There's no problem. No, it doesn't. The ratification action will be in the new Constitution. That's how it'll be ratified, by whatever the new Constitution says. The copy I have says it'll be ratified by a committee in Washington, D.C. That's how the ratification will be in the convention that I have as one of those they're trying to push through. Wow. I have it on my computer.
Pretty dangerous territory.
The Articles of Confederation, ratification was 100% of the colonies. Ratification of the Constitution of the United States today, is two-thirds. That's what it is. Two-thirds of the states.
Right.
Or three-quarters. I get those two-thirds and three-quarters mixed up. But they say it's the ratification. But when it was written, it took away the 100% and went to the percentage.
Yes,
so three-fourths. The next one will throw away the percentage, two-thirds.
Three-fourths
of the states have to ratify it. So here we go. Three-fourths of the states have to ratify it. But the new Constitution will throw out the three-quarters and put in a committee in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
It will destroy our country. The one I have is huge, humongous. And all rights are conferred by the government. You don't have any unless the government says it. And they have all kinds of committees and meetings, all kinds of stuff set up. It regionalizes. There are no more states. It makes regions. It just changes the whole configuration of the whole country. And that's what that one says.
Mm.
And the others will be the same. That's what they'll do. The gavel will bang down. Bang. Here's the new Constitution. And these people will say, yay, let's do it. Just like the governor and the mayor of Seattle and Washington said, yay, we're for these people. Just like we, all of us candidates going for office here in Utah, got a thing to say, we need you to do this survey that Black Lives Matter. Are you going to back up Black Lives Matter? I did not answer that. I will not answer that. You can never win if you answer that.
Exactly.
Never win. I won't answer that question. It's like the question, have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah.
Yes, I have stopped. That means I was doing it. No, I haven't stopped. That means I still am.
Yeah.
You see the quandary? Answer yes or no. Have you stopped beating your wife? Well, that's what this survey will do. I won't respond.
Wow.
It's impossible to respond.
You know, although this was an abbreviated session today, and I thank you for, again, thank you so much for your flexibility, I have to say that there was a lot said here, a lot packed, you packed a lot into this and a lot of information. We're going to be back with our normal schedule next week, next Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, folks, Saving the Constitution is the book to get. If you already have that book, certainly the Liberty series as well. And if you want to get into economics, bathroom economics, easily understood economics, and so on. But Saving the Constitution is really key right now, along with the Liberty Series at provostinstitute.com. And folks, it's much easier. There it is right there. And by the way, earn your degree, economics degree online. And
you notice that the button is blue, not red?
Yes.
It's changed. We changed it all.
Get your copy here. It's that simple. Press the button, and there you go. Just click the box. Thank you. Doctor, Professor Proctor, thank you so very much. Whatever. And again, I really appreciate your flexibility, and I apologize for the misgivings of this week. It was just one of those weeks, but thank you so much. I'll be back in full force next week.
It's your show, Doug. I do what you ask. It's your show.
I appreciate it. You're very kind. May God bless you, keep you over this weekend. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day, Father's Day, if that applies.
Grandfather, yeah. Great-grandfather, if we could just wait a couple months.
Oh, how great is that, huh? Wow.
Yeah, that's all right.
Doctor, thank you so very much. Saving the Constitution, that's the book to get, folks. It's mandatory. It's network break. Global Star Radio Network, going to be right back. Hagman Report, HagmanReportLive.com. And, of course, again, ProvostInstitute.com. Link in the program description box. Going to be right back.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Friday. It's Friday, folks. And you know, it's Father's Day weekend. If you're like I am, spend time with my dog. It's my Father's Day. I like that. And of course, my beautiful, lovely wife. I married up, and I'll tell you what, she's last three decades. I can't believe that she put up with me for so long. I can't put up with me. What do you think of that? Eric said, yeah, I know. You got to see him, folks. Yeah, right? I mean, would you want to live with me? Eric, the tech, could you live with me? I'm just... Yeah, that's, in a sense, that's true. Him being my son-in-law and everything. But no, sometimes I can't even stand me myself. So it's just one of those things. I'm just telling you. I'm looking at the headlines here. I'm actually looking away from the camera. I know that's rude to do. Those listening by radio, of course, you don't care. But that's rude to do. Grumpy old men, yeah. Yeah, that's... I'm telling you, I even can't stand myself. I just get grumpy and my wife says, I'm go, take your dog and go. Go for the walk. Is it, I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not. Steve and I, it's so real quick. Steve Quayle and I, we talk on the phone pretty much all the time, and we share this grumpy, gruff, growling kind of, I don't know, attitude at times. Now we've got our soft, tender side. Don't say feminine, but we have our tender moments, right? I mean, as guys, we do, and as fathers, we do. Yeah. This was, I'm a grizzly old guy. I got an attitude. And, sometimes my wife says, you're not taking your gun. Because I wear 24, so I carry 24/7. And she says, you're not taking your gun with you, are you? If you are, I'm staying home. She doesn't stay home. And she does, I do. Because she said, man, one of these days I can see you, And of course I wouldn't. I'm joking for those people out there who are, writing the whoever they write to. I'm joking, okay? All right. But seriously, fathers, if you are a father, congratulations. And with fatherhood comes responsibilities. And speaking of which, with everything going on right now, a lot of people are asking, especially guys are asking, if it's even possible to buy life insurance with all of the stuff going on out there, with the closures and such. And the short answer is yes, and do it the way we do it. I'm telling you, this is the easiest way in the world. You can buy life insurance during a pandemic. You can buy it during an uprising. You can buy it. And by the way, if you've got loved ones, depending on your income, you probably should buy it. And this is something that as a father, I take very seriously, because as a father and a breadwinner, hey, I want to make sure that my family is taken care of after I'm not here anymore. Here's where I go. Policy Genius. Policy Genius compares quotes from top life insurance companies, and they put them all in one place for you. It takes just a few minutes to compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. This doesn't just save you a lot of legwork. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and the red tape. It's all for free. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they'll be there to take care of everything. Here's what you need to do. If you are one of the many people looking to buy life insurance right now, but you're not sure where to start, head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. Policygenius.com. Smush it all together, and Policy Genius will find you the best rate and handle the process completely. They'll get you and your family protected and hopefully give you one less thing to worry about in these trying times. So having said that, and speaking of, fathers and speaking, I'll tell you what, it's my understanding. I don't know if Ted Brewer's, if he's adopting, and that would make me the brother of adopted brother of Austin Brewer. I don't know, But it'd be nice. Austin Brower from healthmasters.com. Speaking of Father's Day, you know what? I know it's late. I know it's late. But if you, I can tell you this, if you've got a dad out there, maybe he suffers from type 2 diabetes, maybe he's got a compromised immune system, you know, hey, us guys, we got a lot of problems, right, sometimes? Go to healthmasters.com, and even if you order today or tomorrow, and it may not get there, you know, if you're listening to this on Saturday, for example, it may not get there by Father's Day. Just give him like the website and say, look, this is what's coming. He'll appreciate it. There you go. And cross out the, I'll leave in the amount, whatever. But you know what? Dads appreciate this. My wife asked me, she said, do you want anything for Father's Day? I don't want anything for Father's Day. And we go back and forth. I got everything I want. I got a beautiful wife. I've got a dog. I've got a beautiful family. I got a wonderful son-in-law, just a fantastic daughters. What more do I need? But you know what you can give me? You can give me some Ultimate Multiple and some vitamin C from Health Masters. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. And that's what she did, actually. Oh, and I'll tell you what, yeah, I see Eric's dad, man. He's like Charles Atlas. No, I'm kidding, but he's really, yeah, you know. There you go. This would grow simply word of mouth. I'm telling you, it's that good, this stuff. And you may say, why are you spending time talking about this? Because I'm going to tell you why. If you don't think that you're going to have to get off your sorry fat butt and get out there and start kicking some butt, you're wrong. Because in my view, there ain't nothing that's going to change unless we get out there, us guys, and start taking, you know, kicking butt, taking names, and sorry, I'm out of ink. That's right. I'm bad. I'm tender. You know, yeah, I got to tell you one of my favorite movies, and don't send me emails. You tenderize me. We have sessions. Do I really have to? You really gonna? What? I'm talking about Health Masters. It clots the blood when I get beat by my son-in-law. It helps the clotting process. What do you want? HR5 is a coupon code. Austin, come on, man. How you doing?
Great, man, as always. I know if you are eating chicken tenders, they got to be organic ones to you guys. I know you're not eating the McDonald's pink slime. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't think I've had a chicken tender. I'm not even sure. Yeah. I was working. I got to tell you this. I was working a case in New York City, Austin. This is back. Oh, I don't know. It was right after 2001. And seriously, I bought a small order of chicken tenders at McDonald's for my dog. And, I had my dog with me and we were there a week. And I had forgotten about them. And I'll tell you what, they were in a closet and in heat, and they looked exactly the same. No, I didn't give them to my dog.
They don't rot.
It blew my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, you've probably seen the video. The one guy that did the McDonald's test, he took a Big Mac or fries, and he basically put it on a window ledge for a year. Nothing ate it. Bugs didn't eat it. Yeah. Roaches didn't eat it. Mold didn't grow on it.
No.
Nothing decayed it. It's like styrofoam.
It's. Yeah, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Your nutritional supplements, and I'm being real serious about this folks, your nutritional supplements are the best out there, I believe, on the market anywhere. I don't care if you buy on Amazon or CVS or wherever. Whenever you go to healthmasters.com, save your – put your money to good use. Go to healthmasters.com. HR5 is a coupon code. And eat well. And by the way, long-term storable food, you know, there's a real issue about that or real concern about that now. You've got it, right? You've got the food buckets?
Oh, yeah. We have a whole nother batch coming in. Okay. We still have more in stock right now. A lot of people have been calling up. You know, after we did the show last Friday, I brought up some valid points, and people were calling me up and emailing me, and they're like, you know, do you really think we should have some? I'm like, do you really think you should have water in your house? I mean, do you really think you should have a roof over your head? Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at all this stuff that's going on right now, trying to sit there and pretend that you're prepared because, you know, you got a couple rifles and some boxes of ammo and no food. You have to remember, I mean, the food is going to be used to control the masses. Once you can starve out the masses, you can control the masses. Once you can control the masses, you can come back in as the savior of the masses and introduce the lab-grown food, which Bill Gates has been heavily investing in. And it's interesting, there was an article, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I printed off here, from the World Food Program, the WFP, David Beasley, head of that, said urgent action was needed to avoid a catastrophe. And they went on to say that even before the pandemic hit, parts of East Africa and South Asia were already facing severe food shortages caused by drought and the worst locust infestation for decades. And we talked about that in detail. It's been happening. And addressing the UN Security Council, of course, Mr. Beasley said the world has to act wisely and act fast. He said we could be facing multiple famines of biblical proportions within a few short months. The truth, we do not have time on our side. He said, I do believe that our expertise and partnerships, we can bring together teams and programs necessarily to make sure that COVID-19 pandemic does not become a human and food crisis catastrophe. Now, it's ironic about this article is he doesn't say anything about storing food. He doesn't say anything about even having a couple buckets of beans and rice or some MREs. What they're talking about is exactly what I just mentioned. They want to roll in the lab-grown food that they've been working on for years now. And as we know, a lot of that food is made completely out of soy or it's cultured animal tissue that they grow in petri dishes. I'm still not even sure how that's supposed to be safe for human consumption. But majority of the food is usually heavily contaminated, heavily preservative laden. And then, of course, when you have the soy food and the vegetable-based food, unless you're talking about fully organic vegetable-based food made out of, like, you know, rice or beans, 95% of that food is all made from GMO soy and GMO corn, which, of course, is sprayed down with glyphosate made originally by Monsanto. And then they go in, they process it, and they come out with these giant fake burgers that they want to feed everybody. And that's pretty much where we're leaning to here, because if you can, the only way you're going to introduce that type of food, especially petri dish grown food, cultured food, is by starving enough people to the point that people will submit to that type of food and say, hey, you know what? We don't have this, we don't have this, but we have this. So be happy, enjoy your soy-based food or whatever other things they want to throw at us, and just be happy that you're getting fed, because, you know, we're gracious and we're kind and we're being good to you and we're feeding you. And to me, I don't like ever being at the whims of anybody else. I like to be very, very adequately prepared for pretty much any situation you can possibly account for. Obviously, you can't figure everything out, but for the most part, having food on deck is one of those kind of like no-brainers. I mean, if you are a patriot and you're awake, you need to at least have a couple months of food. That's my opinion. 90 days is a good number. You know, some people talk about, oh, you know, I have years and years of food. That's great. That's fantastic if that's your goal for that. But it always starts somewhere. At least have a couple months of food. That's at least my opinion. That's why we switched over to the fully organic food buckets we have at the website, Doug, at Health Masters.
And, you know, for people out there listening to this, I can tell you this. Their brand of food, I can eat it, not in an emergency. It doesn't. In other words, if I want to open up a bucket of food or a packet of food, it is as if I'm eating a normal meal. This doesn't taste like cardboard. It doesn't, I mean, it's good stuff. And I know you have too. You've eaten it as well.
Oh, yes.
You don't sell junk. And I agree. I used to waver on this quite a bit. You know, do I really need this? And yeah, At this point, I believe absolutely, and especially if you buy now the organic, while you, because I mean, while you can still get it, it's.
Yeah, we ran out a couple months ago. Yeah. I mean, we had it coming in, and the supplier flat out told us. He said we're unbelievably behind. I mean, they were 4 to 6 weeks behind. Some places were 8 to 12 weeks. And I told everybody, I said, I'm not going to sit here and sell you buckets and tell you I have them in stock, and then turn around and put a little disclaimer and say, oh, by the way, they're going to ship out in 12 weeks. Some guys were doing that, and that's a bit unscrupulous. I'm not a fan of that. If I don't have something physically in stock, or it's en route, you know, on a pallet that I'm getting in a couple days, I'm not going to tell you I have in stock, because quite frankly, I don't. And that's a lie to tell you that I do. And no, we currently do have them in stock. We're trying to get as many as we can in. The last batch we just ordered last week, they told us that they would not have any more coming in now until the beginning of July. That's how big of a demand you're seeing from a lot of these food bucket places, especially when it comes to certified organic. And I mean, it's just, it's like I said, it's like having toilet paper, having backup water, having backup ammo, or having clothes. I mean, do you wear one pair of socks every day and you wash them and rewear them? I mean, you may if you have to in a situation, but that's not ideal. You have a couple pairs of socks. Well, you don't want to have one meal in the fridge. You want to have multiple meals on deck. So if you're in that situation, you're not scrambling for food, because as a lot of people have talked that have been in areas and countries that have fallen and different sort of regimes that have collapsed. One thing that is a big mistake, and this is where you always end up getting in a pickle, is when something starts to go down and a catastrophe starts to occur, you flood to the store with the other masses to go buy stuff out. That's very common. And of course, if it's something moderate and you're trying to stock up at the last second, it's not a big deal. But if you're talking about a severe catastrophe, the last place you want to be is packed in a building with thousands of people fighting over a bag of rice. I mean, that's not a situation you want to be in. And your chances of getting in a fight, your chances of dealing in a knife fight or a gunfight go up significantly at that point. So it's best to be well prepared. If that situation occurs, just step back, observe, watch how everything goes, and, you know, eat some of your organic food and just say, all right, you know, we're loaded up, we're strapped, all the family, all the surrounding friends and neighborhoods are all ready. And if, you know, they want to come this way, send it, man. I mean, let's see what's happened. We're going to protect our family, and we're going to protect our country at all costs. And the only way you can do that is being prepared. And that goes the same way as far as your health. You know, a lot of people don't like to take care of their health until it's completely compromised. And I've dealt with this for years. Dad's dealt with it even longer than I have. And I get so many emails every single week where people email me and they're basically on the deathbed with like stage 4 cancer, and all of a sudden they want to start on a protocol, and they say, hey, you know, we want to figure out what to do. You know, I've got like stage 4 cancer and I've got a month to live the doctors have given me, and now I want to change my diet and I want to get on some supplements. And, you know, I'll give them natural advice and I'll kind of give them some encouragement, but, you know, the time to start doing that isn't when you're about to die. It's when you're still healthy, because our health is one of our most valuable assets, and it's something that in most cases we're given at birth, unless there's some significant complication or some type of issue. But for the most part, majority of us live moderately healthy as we get, you know, older. Our health is there, and we continue to compromise it, whether it be through food, whether it be through drugs, whether it be through excessive alcohol, whether it be through smoking. The list goes on the line. GMO foods, vaccines, artificial preservatives. And so our bodies slowly start being compromised. And then once it's all done, and once we have all these health issues, we decide, hey, we want to start making changes now. And of course, you know, it's never too late, in my opinion. Even at the last second, it never hurts to go and try a protocol or change your diet. But to me, it makes more sense to do the best you can to try to take care of your body. I mean, when I was younger, I used to abuse my body too. Massive amounts of caffeine, little sleep, constantly working, always in the gym, busy, 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 busy all the time. And, you know, it caught up with me when I was 26 and I started having pericarditis, which was basically inflammation of the heart, because I was just using entirely too many stimulants and not sleeping at all, because I felt like I could pretty much go forever. And I did for a while, and it caught up with me. And that was pretty much the eye-opener to realize, hey, I'm not immortal. I can still compromise my own health, even being moderately healthy as I am. You have to sleep. you have to take care of your body. And even if you're just taking some basic supplements, like you said, the Ultimate Multiple Powder, the Ultimate Multiple Capsules, the Chewables, those are always one of the first things I start everybody on, because they're such a beneficial, vast, broad supplement that anybody can pretty much take. And that's what we have in three different forms. And it's so crazy, because I literally, to this day, I still get emails of people that go, man, as soon as I started taking that supplement, as soon as I started taking the Ultimate Multiple Powder, my energy levels went up, my mental acuity went up. And I'm like, yeah, because your body's starving for those nutrients. And people that try to play the food clause, and what I mean by that is, I've had this argument numerous times, and they go, well, I eat fairly healthy. I don't need to take any supplements. I'm perfectly healthy the way I am, as long as I eat moderately clean. And for the most part, yes, it is great to eat clean. But on the other aspect of that is, we're not in the 1800s or early 1900s anymore, where we have adequate crop rotation. We're not using vast amounts of pesticides and herbicides on our food anymore. The food we have is massively denatured from what it was 100 years ago. So that aspect, that argument is no longer valid anymore, because you really do need to supplement with some type of vitamin mineral form. And that's why we use the bioactive vitamins we have that are bioavailable, and your body can absorb them readily. And we don't put a bunch of shellacs and a bunch of preservatives. I mean, we still use the methylcobalamin, which it still boggles my mind that you'll see some health companies come out with these latest and greatest supplements. And I've had people email me sometimes. They send me articles, or they send me a link, and they say, hey, what about this vitamin? And I look at it, and, you know, it'll be $70, $80, $90 for a little bottle or a little can. And, you know, you look at some of the ingredients, you're like, all right, some of those are decent. And then I always, the one big thing you can always do is a telltale sign to see what kind of quality supplements a company uses. Look what form of B12 they put in their vitamin. I encourage everybody to do that. If they use cyanocobalamin, it starts with a C. Don't ask me to spell it right now, but it's cyanocobalamin, which is actually a derivative-based spinoff of cyanide. And that's how they artificially build the cyanocobalamin B12. It's very cheap and almost inherently always comes out of China. And that right there will tell you what type of quality they're using in the rest of their supplements, in my opinion. Because if they're cheaping out and they're using cyanocobalamin versus the methyl form or methylcobalamin, which we use in all of our supplements we produce, then that shows you they don't care about the health, nor do they care about the actual ingredients they're putting in it. They're simply trying to make money, because cyanocobalamin only has about a 30% absorption rate and conversion rate in the liver. The body can't take much of it in. And actually, high doses of cyanocobalamin B12 can be toxic, versus the methylcobalamin B12, which is bioactive. Your body can almost convert and absorb 100% of it as soon as you take it in, and it feeds the cells immediately. That's what you want to put in your body. We have an article on healthmasters.com about the difference in detail, way more than I can even explain on the show, about B12 and cyanocobalamin and methylcobalamin and the differences and why you should only use the methyl form. And so that's just one other thing you can look at to compare vitamins, because you don't have to take my word for it. Try it for yourself. And we have a 90-day money-back guarantee on all of our supplements. And do your own research and look at what other companies are using, especially when you get these supplements you see from some places, and they're the latest, greatest new supplement, and they won't tell you a milligram dosage. They only use a proprietary blend. Now, there's only like two formulas we have that we use that in, and it's solely because that formula was based years ago, and we did not want to copy. But 99% of our products are all broken down to the very base ingredient that we use in that actual product, to the very milligram, all the way down to the nutritional facts, because we want people to be able to compare apples to apples with real ingredients. What's the actual true ingredient? Instead of just listing the name, we break it all the way down and list the milligram dosage per each ingredient. So I encourage everybody, do your own research, do your own background on stuff, and then make a decision. And you'll find in most cases, we do produce some of the highest quality supplements you can physically buy today. That's my little, since you got me on that topic, Doug.
No, I'm glad I did. I'm just looking here at something else while you were talking. But by the way, the vitamin B12 you're talking about, for those people who are wondering, does it work? You know, I had gone in once a month for a vitamin B12 shot, because, you know, you get older, you get the, I don't know. I just figured maybe this will give me more energy. I could take your, and I do take your B12, and not anyone else's. And I've tried others, But your B12, there's what you said earlier. I'm not going to repeat it, but yours is different. And I'll tell you what, it makes a big difference in terms of energy. The amount of energy I get from your vitamin B, I just feel a lot systemically. I feel better systemically. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, 100%. And to add on that, you know, a lot of people don't realize this. When people get blood tests, and that's generally what happened. I'm sure that's what happened to you. Your doctor saw your B12 levels were probably a little low, asked you if you wanted injections. And you can get them. And every single one I found, now there may be some out there, but almost every single injectable B12 I found is always cyanide cobalamin. And I have helped, I can't even, I mean, it's been at least dozens of people that have been on those injections. And they're like, man, my B12 level bloods still won't go up high enough. I'm taking injections all the time. I'm having to pin in my glutes. It's a nightmare. And I'm like, all right, run our methylcobalamin sublingual B12. Let it dissolve on your tongue. Run it for a month and then get bloods. And every single time I've told somebody to do that and shown them exactly the protocol to do with that, they go in, they drop their B12 injections, they go solely on my product, and their B12 levels double, sometimes triple and quadruple on their blood levels without any injections whatsoever, simply because they're getting a clean bioactive form of sublingual B12. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
You know, a question about this that I have, and I don't know, maybe others have the same question. If, let's say this, whatever day, this is what, June 19th. All right, so June 19th. If I have a doctor's appointment, we'll say on July 1st. And if I start taking your supplements today, would that improvement show in that length of time if I was to get my blood tested on the date of, we'll say July 1st? Would that show an improvement?
Oh, in most cases, absolutely. Especially if you're being consistent with the proper doses. Okay. You know, I've seen people take supplements and in a matter of a week have their blood levels already start looking better when they've started on a supplement. Now, again, that's dependent on consistency. One thing that's always frustrating to me that I've dealt with in the office a lot is people will buy a supplement, they'll put it on their shelf and look at it. They'll hold the bottle, they'll look at the bottle, they'll stroke the bottle, they'll talk about how cool the bottle is and how cool the ingredients is, and then they'll take one pill. And then all of a sudden they call me in a week and they go, man, listen, I'm just not feeling better. You know, I got to send this back. And I'm like, okay, well, how long have you been using it? Well, I've been using it about a week. All right, well, how many capsules have you gone through? Most of our bottles are 90 to 120 capsules. Well, no, I've taken at least like, you know, probably two or three capsules. So a product that we recommend you take four capsules of a day, every single day, you've taken three capsules in an entire week and you're telling me you don't get results. You know, come on, if you're going to spend the money and you're going to try it, try it, commit to it, and run it. If you try our products for a month or 2 months and you still really feel that that's not where you want to be and they're not doing what you want, send them back and we'll give you a full refund on it. We've been standing by that for over 30 years. But if you do it, commit to it. That's my biggest thing on that, Doug.
Yeah, no, you're 100% accurate on that. It's like the doctor saying, have you been taking your medication? Yeah. Well, last time it was refilled was, you know, a year ago. So
yeah.
Okay. Oh, right. Man. Yeah. Okay. It's good. And you know, the other thing too, we were talking about storable food, long-term storable food. But some things people don't think about is the water part of things. If you're living in a house, an apartment, whatever it might be. One thing I really would recommend everyone look into and purchase from Health Masters is a water distiller. This has made a difference in our lives, my family's lives, because the gunk in the water, in the city water or the well water, you got to get rid of that, some of that stuff. And so the distiller is the answer to that. And oh, by the way, in an emergency situation, make sure you've got some water filters on hand as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by the way, we sell freeze-dried water. That's actually, we give you an 8-ounce bottle you know, $8.95. All you do is add water to that, and there you go. it's this joke that never lands. The water distillers are good. They're really good. I really
storing the water too, Doug. That's one topic that I've talked to a lot of people. You know, get the BPA-free containers, whether it's a gallon, 2-gallon, 3-gallon container. fill it up, add a little bit of our aqua trace and a little bit of our colloidal silver. The water will pretty much store indefinitely. Now, I still cycle mine after a while. You know, I'll use some water and then refill them and then switch them back. I have a closet in my new house, and I just have basically, you know, jugs of water stacked up in the corner. And the reason for that is if something occurs, water is essential to life. Food is very essential, but you can go a couple days without food. Now, granted, you're not feel real good. You go much longer than that, you're going to start losing muscle tissue. But water is essential. You know, they've done everything in the military, from psychological warfare, sleep deprivation, food deprivation, you know, extreme exhaustion. One thing that has never been able to be done ever in the history of mankind is severe water deprivation and still maintain a healthy body. It's physically impossible. So, I mean, after about 2 to 3 days without water, you're pretty much as good as dead. I mean, for the most part. I mean, especially if you're in a humid, hot climate like Florida. And a lot of people don't think about that. You know, they'll have a, you know, a box of water bottles in their closet or something. And, you know, you think on a normal basis, on average, you should be drinking about half your body weight in fluid ounces. So if you're a 200-pound male, you generally need to be drinking about 100 ounces of water a day. And so you think, okay, well, if we're in a survival situation and we need to be able to bug in, or we need to maintain a compound or property or neighborhood for a couple of weeks, and we don't want to go to the store – if you're in Florida, well, you're kind of in luck, because if you got a couple filters, you can, you know, filter pool water, lake water. I mean, we got water out the yin yang in Florida. But in a lot of states, that's not the case, especially arid states like, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Nevada. You're drinking a gallon of water a day on average. If you're, especially if you're doing stuff even more outside, you know, in 2 weeks, that's 14 gallons of water just for you. That's not even including your wife or kids or anything. So, I mean, generally, I try to tell everybody, maintain at least 3 gallons of water a day stored, and be able to maintain that for at least a week or two, at least a week or two as a backup. And that's, you know, in most cases, that's going to be, you know, 20, 30, 40 gallons of water, which if you do that in time, and that's what I've done, is I take the water distillers, which we have more coming in stock. We've sold out because we've had a hard time keeping a hold of the inventory on them. You know, I'll fill up a jug and, you know, add a little bit of the colloidal silver and aqua trace to it. I'll put it in the closet and I'll keep doing that as I go along. And so what happens is after a couple months, oh, you know, you got 5 gallons, you got 10 gallons, you got 20 gallons, you got 30 gallons stored. And that's at least a good base backup for an emergency. And then at that point, if you have to switch that water and utilities go out, municipalities go out, and you're trying to start, you know, scavenge water and you're getting filters and going to lakes or so forth, at least you have clean water at your house to make food, to drink, to do some things like that, instead of being like, oh man, I got, you know, a couple bottles of Zephyr Hills in the fridge and that's about it. Well, you're going to go through that water in about a day of being outside, especially if you're doing manual labor or any type of security detail. So water is essential, Doug. Absolutely stay prepared for water, because everything going right now, I mean, you can see, I mean, the handwriting's on the wall with what's going on. Now we're seeing back more of these COVID restrictions again on everybody with this isolation warfare that they're doing in Tampa and Orlando. Now they're now saying that if you're out and about, you need to be wearing a mask all the time. Now here in Central Florida, where I'm at, our mayor, our sheriff, they're never going to enforce that type of aspect. We're a very, very open, kind of libertarian kind of county, and just kind of leave people alone and they'll leave you alone. But one thing that's so interesting, they're going to such a aspect of the police state everywhere. And the mayor out in Tampa came out on TV the other night and he said, it's mandatory. If you're in a business, if you're going anywhere, employees, patrons, you wear a mask. And I encourage everybody, if you're at a restaurant and you see somebody not wearing a mask, call law enforcement on them. And I went, wait, what? If you're in a restaurant and you're not wearing a mask, call law. So what am I supposed to do? Eat spaghetti through a straw in my mask? I mean, the lunacy with these individuals know no bounds, and they're not even discussing the aspect of lack of O2 levels in the blood. Your body is designed to be at a very high level of oxygen. Even if you go to the hospital, if you go under 90%, you go on oxygen. And they've shown numerous times that they've done studies on people while they're doing masks. They've gone to the hospital. Everybody's like the 80% range now. They need oxygen walking around with masks on. And what's crazy about this now, I got an email from a friend of mine this morning. And I got multiple emails now today. Everybody's been confirming it, is that people's phones have been updated all week. Androids have done it. I've been denying updates on my phone. I have an iPhone, which I have all my permissions turned off, my locations, everything's wrong. I basically use it as a phone and a text message. But everybody's phones now, on the updates, they're adding the COVID-19 tracing. in conjunction with Google and Apple. A lot of people don't even realize this because they don't even know that it was added. And it was funny, I checked my wife's phone because she got up this morning. She goes, man, my phone turned off last night. And I said, did it put on the COVID-19 tracing? Because mine's been trying to update apps. I keep declining. Do not remind me, decline. And hers automatically did it. And it said it right here. I screenshot basically on her phone. And it says this right here, if you can see it. COVID-19 notifications on her phone. And I made sure everything was turned off. And I encourage everybody, make sure your locations and make sure your Bluetooth is off. If you're not adequately using it in a vehicle to talk on your phone, because Bluetooth is nice with a lot of vehicles. Now, if you're on a road trip, you're hands-free, you can talk right in your truck. But on this thing, and it says right here, I'm reading it from her phone. The app will notify you if you've been near someone who's reportedly had COVID-19. The date, duration, and signal strength associated with an exposure will be shared on the app. Your phone uses Bluetooth to securely collect and share IDs with other phones that are nearby. If you have COVID-19, you can choose to share your phone's random ID with the app so it can notify others anonymously. Device locations will need to be on to detect Bluetooth devices near you. They're blatantly telling you they're monitoring everything you do. Now, obviously, you can turn that app off, but it's still on your phone. Now, how long before it goes, oh, you know what, guys, listen, it's for your protection. We're mandating that these apps be on your phone. If you have a phone, it has to be on. We're right on the cusp of that now. That's why I've encouraged everybody, turn this crap off on your phone. Turn all the permissions off on your phone. And even better, and I encourage everybody, I have one, Lana has one, is the RFID blocker cases. I don't even sell them. I mean, you can buy them on eBay for like $4 or $5. And throw your phone in them if you're not using your phone. Now, if you're in doing business, if you're waiting on your kids to call you, I got that. You know, you need to be able to contact people. But if you don't need your phone right then and there, throw it in the case. And the way to tell the case is good, make sure it's sealed up, you know, the flap goes over and everything, and have somebody call it. If it vibrates and starts ringing, it's obviously not working. It should go right to voicemail. You should have zero signal in those cases. But what they're going to use, because so many people are so addicted to their phones and they keep them strapped to their body 24/7 and never let them out of their sight and play on them all day long, they're betting, this is a long bet, they're betting that everybody is going to be so stuck on their phones that these apps are going to be able to start doing this. And they've already said now with these apps that they're building, they're going to put in a function later on that is going to give you a COVID-19 level as far as a number, a threat assessment, so to speak. And so if you're around a lot of people and your Bluetooth connects to them and they have COVID-19, your threat assessment is going to go higher of COVID-19. And so what's going to happen is it starts pinging people and notifying them, this is a high COVID-19 threat assessment user in your vicinity, or there are X amount of those users in your vicinity, use caution. They're going to a full-blown communist dictatorship, exactly what China has done with the social credit score, except they're naming it a different thing. And it's funny because for years now, since China's been working on that social credit score, so many people would argue with this. This is never going to happen in the United States. We're never going to get something like this. We'll never allow it. Guess what, guys? It's here and it's on your phone right now. So turn that crap off and make sure you understand that it is not for your protection. It is not for other people's protection. If they cared about your protection, Fauci months ago, that blithering bobblehead that runs his mouth that gave $3.7 million to the Chinese Wuhan facility to research how to figure out how to get COVID to transfer from animals to humans, that Fauci, he would have told everybody, listen, we've seen now already that vitamin C massively stimulates the immune system. D3 is important for the macrophage. Make sure your D3 levels and your vitamin C levels are extremely high, and your body will have a much stronger chance to fight off any type of viral exposure or infection. There's been numerous research studies, and we have them all over our website, discussing vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C, microdosing oral vitamin C, D3 levels. Remember, years ago, they came out and said D3 levels are at an all-time low, like a mass portion of the population has low D3. Yet nobody's talked about D3 is crucial in the body to fight off viruses. you see now that people are inside all the time. People are on their phones all the time. They're on computers all the time. They're not getting the sunshine vitamin known as D3. So their immune systems are becoming lower and lower. This is what they would have said if they were encouraging people to maintain your health and they were concerned about your health. They wouldn't tell you that you need an all-seeing eye in your phone based from Google and Apple uniting to track you, monitor, watch you, and trace you every step of your life where you go. That is not protection, guys. That is secure. That is basically tyranny. That is a false sense of security that they're trying to promote to get you to submit to an all-new world order. Because remember, the only way to get people fully under control is they had to be fully monitored. This has been a textbook example in China. People won't talk on the internet now in China most of the time. People won't jaywalk anymore. People won't say things against the communist government anymore in China because their social credit score goes down. Once their social credit score goes down, they can't get a hotel. They can't get a rental car. Some places can't even work. They can't get their kids into a good school, et cetera, going down the line. How long are we going to allow this to occur before the COVID-19 tracing app starts preventing you from being able to do things just like that? Sir, you need to sign in. We need to log in here. You want to get a rental car or check in a hotel? Sir, I'm sorry. You've been flagged. You have a high COVID-19 threat score. We can't allow you into the hotel. We can't allow you to get a rental car. I mean, we can't allow you into church. We can't allow you into work. Your threat assessment's too high. You need to go home, social distance, quarantine for 14 days, let your threat score go down, be a good little bootlicker, and in 14 days, if your threat score goes down, you can come back and we'll discuss all their alternatives and see if we can get you in here. That is exactly where they're going with this. And if you don't realize that, you really need to do your research on what the entire COVID-19 tracing app is all about, Doug.
Thank you for that. Because listening to this, going back to the original, your like first sentence, I have trouble with masks. I'm not wearing them. I mean, I can wear them fine. I don't. I just choose not to. I have trouble being told to wear a mask. Okay, so going back to what you like your first opening sentence, what's the reasoning behind the masks? Beyond the, oh, it's going to protect you or protect others, there's something else there. What is it?
Well, my opinion on it, I think it's multi-tiered. A, it's about submission.
Yes.
A tyrannical government loves submission. They want people to submit to tyranny. It's very difficult to force a populace as large and as armed as we are in the United States to go along with something and not submit. To go against an opposing United States populace of 330 million people that are majority, a good amount, well-armed, without them submitting is borderline impossible. It just wouldn't happen. So my part of that is submitting. Secondly, it's about causing the immune system to be compromised by reducing O2 levels in the body. When the O2 levels decline in the body, the blood becomes more acidic. Cancer thrives in acidity. It does not thrive in alkaline environments, so the immune system becomes compromised. Thirdly, I think it's about social isolation and preventing people from communicating without being on the phone. If you've noticed now when you've gone out in public, if you've gone somewhere to a store and you go to a checkout or a teller or something like that, majority of people wearing masks. When they wear those masks, if you've ever tried to have a conversation with them, it's very muffled and difficult. Now, combine that with the next person wearing a mask. I won't wear a mask. I have refused to wear a mask. I am not going to be told to wear a mask. I do not get told to do anything unconstitutional in this country. I am a free man. I try to travel freely, unmolested on my way, and I'm not going to submit to this tyranny. This is not about health. It's not about protection. It's about submission. And going into that, they want people to gear all of their conversations and traffic onto phones. If you've watched two people talk through masks, it's like watching walruses fight over a fish. It's like, what'd you say? It's idiotic. It's stupid. And the fact that people are going along with this is embarrassing to me as a country. But what are people doing now? They're getting on Facebook. They're getting on Twitter. They're getting on Google. They're getting on Instagram. They're getting on all these social media platforms. They're using text messages. We already know the NSA monitors everything you say on your phone. We already know they listen to everything you say on your phone. We already know they monitor all your text messages. And social media doesn't even try to hide it. They blatantly tell you the terms and conditions. They monitor everything you do on your phone and everything you say. And especially if you leave your permissions on, which 99% of people do, they listen to your phone. They read your text. They look at your content. They watch everything you do. They look at your location. And you give them that permission to do so. So they don't want people to stand around and communicate with one another freely and quietly off the record. They want people to communicate via phone, which a lot of people are doing that now. You can look at internet usage. You can look at social media usage. All of them have skyrocketed in the last 3 to 4 months beyond what we've ever seen in this country. And at the same time, we've seen the 5G towers go up at an unprecedented rate. So people are using their phones. They're getting faster internet now, and they don't even realize what 5G is doing to them. So that's what I think the masks are all about. It's about submission and control. It's about causing people to compromise their immune system by wearing masks 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And it's about preventing people from being able to communicate with one another freely. They want to do all those things, and then they're going to bring in the next segment of the requirements. And in my opinion, that's going to be the vaccines. Now, I really don't think they're going to come in and they're going to do a full-blown SWAT team raid on every house that refuses to get a vaccine. I don't think they'll go like that. Vaccines have always been submissive. People have always had to capitulate to vaccines. There's never really been in any case in the United States of a full-blown forced inoculation on the general public as far as actually going in, strapping people down against their will while they're kicking and screaming and saying no and injecting them with a vaccine. Now, you've had very coercive moves. You have states that basically prevent your child from being able to go into school without vaccines. You've had very tyrannical situations like that, but you've never had a full-blown mandatory, we're coming to your house with a SWAT team and a nurse to inject you. And I don't think they'll do that. Here's why. That would completely and totally show their hand, because people would realize at that point, there is no longer a free country. If you do not own your body and they can inject whatever they want into it at any point in time against your will, 100% against your will, then people have realized all bets are off the table and it's time to take up arms. And it goes completely against the abortion narrative. The abortion narrative is always my body, my right. That's what we hear all the time. My body, my right. If I want to execute my baby, I can execute my baby in the womb. That's my right to do so. Well, if that's the mantra they've put out and that's the standpoint that they've stood on for the last, 30, 40 years now, turning around and turning that on its head and saying, it's not your body, it's not your right, we're going to inject you with a vaccine because we say it's good for you, that completely compromises it. Now, one thing I wanted to bring up on here, and this is an article I put on the website the other day that's really, really important. People need to understand this before they start going, oh, Austin, you're anti-vax. I'm not anti-vax. I understand what vaccines can do if they're actually kept clean and safe, but they're not. They're full of all types of different compounds to elicit an autoimmune response and inflammatory response, yet they tell you it's supposed to be healthy for you, like adding aluminum and mercury and polysorbate 80 and MSG. And now what they've done, this is interesting, Dr. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, that basically has been a huge proponent of clean vaccines, he did an interview with Dr. Deischer. Now, Dr. Deischer is basically a PhD in molecular and cellular physiology from Stanford. She has invented and has 23 issued U.S. patents. This lady is a genius. She is a brilliant person. And the fact that she has a PhD in molecular and cellular physiology, if you even understand that component of that program, much less the doctoral program to get through that from Stanford, she's brilliant. And she did an interview with Mr. Kennedy the other day. And I'm going to quote part of what she said here. And this is what's so troubling. One thing that Mr. Kennedy brought up is he said that almost all the COVID vaccines are being developed and cultured from human fetal tissue to build the coronavirus. And he said one of the questions that he wanted to bring to her is why the manufacturers of vaccines switched exclusively from using animal tissue, which they used to do. They used to use bovine and egg and so forth culture to grow vaccines. And now they've started to switch over significantly to aborted fetal tissue cultures to grow these vaccines, including almost all the COVID-19 vaccines. And so he asked her, why did they switch from animal tissue to culture vaccines to aborted fetal tissue? And she replied, it's kind of weird to think that the animal rights activists have more clout with the vaccine companies than the anti-abortion activists do. But the industry was getting a lot of pressure from the animal rights movement to stop using animals for experimentation. So it was easier to start using aborted fetal tissue and draw that to use it on culture than animal. Now, the problem is I don't think she's 100% telling the truth on this. I think she's holding back a little bit. I think a lot of this was the physiological and the mental aspect of what these sickos that are involved in a lot of this at the top really like to do. It's almost a game to them, in my opinion, and a contrary to Christian belief to inject a Christian with aborted fetal tissue. That kind of goes against everything you believe. Now, interesting, she goes on to say with this, and this is the part, and this is a little graphic, guys, I'm warning you. This is what she says, and I'm quoting her. Dr. Deischer replied, and I quote, "You know what's really alarming is the lack of outcry over human babies that are born alive at 5 to 6 months old so their hearts can be obtained beating. They have to be beating to be used in research as far as aborted fetal tissue that's being done. If the heart is stopped beating, it's not useful. You cannot use it in that research. So the babies are delivered alive and their hearts are cut out without anesthesia. I would not even do that to a mouse." That's how they derive and how they get their aborted fetal tissue to derive these vaccines. If that doesn't trouble you beyond belief to think about what they do to these unborn children, and they're not unborn at any point, they're born alive, they're 5 and 6 months old. In most cases, you can have a child at that point and you can keep it alive and it can be a healthy adult, even being born that early in some cases. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're coming out and they use this to culture these vaccines is so sadistic, in my opinion. And the fact that they're trying to tell everybody, you have to get this vaccine or else you're basically a grandma killer. You basically are not doing your fair share to protect people. That, to me, screams just demonic aspects right there in and of itself. So to pretend that this vaccine is supposed to be the savior of the world and this vaccine is supposed to be this great thing that everybody needs to get, you need to question what's in it and you need to question what it's doing and you need to question what the true motive is behind it, because we already know Moderna's on first research studies they did, and Robert F. Kennedy brought this up. Moderna's first human trial they did with 15 patients, three of them became so sickly, and I quote, they had to have medical intervention. That's a 20% rate of horrible debilitating side effects from the first research test of the COVID-19 vaccine. If you did that on an entire 330 million populace in this country, that would be 60 million people roughly that have such debilitating side effects, they would have to have medical intervention. Now, we don't know if this is going to be the same vaccine that they use when they roll out in December through Operation Warp Speed with their blank check with tens of billions of dollars they've gotten under the Trump administration to force a vaccine through the military on the American populace. We don't know. But what we do know now is now they've been discussing and coming out and saying that one vaccine isn't going to be enough. You're going to have to get inoculated with this numerous times for it to be effective in preventing you from having symptoms and contracting COVID in the future. This is one giant, complete, and total scam on the general population. And I really hope you don't just take my word for it. Do your own research on this. Please, if anybody listens to me on the show, do your own research and don't be a mindless sheeple. It is a very serious thing to take a hypodermic needle and inject something into your body. You are not injecting it, you're not ingesting it through your sinuses, through your airways, through your stomach. There's certain things that God gave us to protect us when we inject a pathogen or a virus or a germ, whether it be through our lungs, whether it be through our stomach, to try to slow down and prevent the virus or bacteria from having a horrible effect. There's a reason why we have the skin. The skin blocks that from getting in. When you inject a needle and inject something into your body, you go through that skin barrier and you go right into the bloodstream. At that point in time, there is no protection from the body. You have immediate and illicit immune response and an inflammatory response in the body from these vaccines. That's why they put so much aluminum, they say, in the HPV vaccine to elicit an immune response. The problem is the immune response that we've seen from the HPV vaccine has been directly linked to Guillain-Barre syndrome through young girls that have been injected with us all across the country. Understand what's in these vaccines, and if anybody, and I say that succinctly, I mean anybody, tells you you don't have the right to question what's in a vaccine, you either need to have a very, very, very strict conversation with them about your rights, or you need to walk the other direction and not even have a conversation with them. Because that is a bold-faced lie to say you do not have a right to know what's in your vaccine, and you have a right to question anything, even question me. If you don't believe me, do your own research. But anybody that tells you you don't have a right to question it, you don't have a right to know what's in it, and you don't have a right to say no to a vaccine is a full-blown New World Order stooge that wants you under a tyrannical regime. And there is no other way to put that, Doug.
I couldn't have said that any better. Healthmasters.com, HR5 coupon code, at least till Monday at midnight. You know what, folks? Get serious. And I mean that. Get serious about your health. Get serious about what you're hearing. Get serious about who you listen to. And I say that as when you look on your screen, check out at the top right there, Ted and Austin Brewer Show live every weekday. That's Monday through Friday for those in Hattiesburg that are intellectually challenged, or San Francisco that might be intellectually challenged as well. That's weekly or daily, 5 days per week. That's Monday through Friday, in case you're wondering. Monday through Friday, 3 to 4, Sundays 7 to 8 Eastern time. Again, listen to Ted and Austin Brewer Show. It's so important. And even equally important is what you consume, the type of nutritional supplements you consume in your body. And that's Health Masters, the best out there in my view. HR5 is the coupon code. Start, if you just say, I can only start with one, just tell me which one. Use your ultimate multiple supplement, whether it's powder or capsule. And Eric the Tech and his dad loved the powder. So do that. But please invest in yourself. Invest in your health. Healthmasters.com. Now, Austin, I want to, before it gets too late, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to you, too.
Thank you. And I certainly want to wish your dad a happy Father's Day as well. And I want to let you know that we at the Hagman Report appreciate you, we appreciate your dad, we appreciate your family, and we appreciate your business. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of this operation. As I see it here in the closing minutes of this program, Austin, as I see this, you covered a lot of ground. And here's what I see. I don't think we're going to come out of this. I think we're in a tailspin. And I don't think we're going to come out of this without some blood on the street. I don't want it to be mine. I don't want it to be my family's. But I think we're going to have to put some skin in the game and we're going to have to fight. That's what I see in a kind of a nutshell. I'm not wishing for it. I'm not advocating it, but that's what I see. Any thoughts on that?
As much as I wish I could disagree with you, I can't. It's time that everybody be vocal. The time for normalcy bias and the time for being politely kind and quiet is gone. The American patriot population has to start speaking their mind. We have to start capitulating to this new world order, and especially this new reverse racist new world order that's making people ashamed for being a certain skin color. That's nothing more than the textbook play out of communism to divide and conquer a country. Don't fall prey to that. But it's absolutely right. The more prepared we are, the better we're going to be when this happens. But we are going to have to get involved directly in this eventually, whether it is next month, next year, 5 years from now. The biggest thing we can do now is spread truth, spread real accurate information, and continue to make our voices heard and make them know that we will not go quietly into the night. And once we get backed into a corner far enough, it will escalate, and we try to avoid that at all costs. I'm with you. Violence is the last resort because, you know, I've been involved in stuff. I don't like to be involved in stuff. But when it gets to that point, there's no other option anymore. And the problem is the compliancy that we've given for the last couple of years has almost gone too far now, and we are going to have to make a stand at some point.
No, I 100% agree with you, and I pray, I mean, every night on my knees thinking that, you know, I don't want to see it happen, but I'll tell you what, as the saying goes, let it happen in my lifetime as opposed to that of my children, that being on this Father's Day weekend. You know, as a father, I would much rather take the mantle of fighting as opposed to leaving that battle to my children or grandchildren. So we've reached the end of the program. I want to say thank you so much again. HR5, coupon code at healthmasters.com. Austin, God bless you, my friend. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. Out of time. Eric the Tech, thank you so very much. Eric the Tech, happy Father's Day to Eric the Tech. Thank you. You know, he's got such a great, him and my daughter have such a great family. Dean, God bless you, my friend. My little grandson. What a handsome dude. All right. Fathers out there, happy Father's Day. Moms, thank you for what you do. And listeners and viewers, thank you for being a part of this this platform and supporting us. God bless.